A werewolf shifter romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. The elders spoke of the fated bond as the anchor of the shifter world, a sacred, unbreakable union. But they rarely spoke of the other prophecy, the one born from shadow and ruin. When the wildflower blooms in defiance and the alpha's claim is spurned, a plague of corrupted moonlight will rise from a wound that was never mourned. Deep within the blighted woods, where the trees wept black sap, a gnarled hand closed around the last silver moon petal and crushed it. A low chuckle disturbed the unnatural silence. The vibrant life bled into darkness, twisting, corrupting, becoming the first virulent seed of the blood moon plague. He had waited for this, for centuries, for the perfect rejection to finally break their world. The prophecy was a forgotten myth. The poison? It was now real. And the girl who held the fate of all shifters in her hands, she didn't even know she had a soul to spurn. Chapter 1. Ilara's world was small, and she liked it that way. It was a world of dirt under her fingernails, the scent of crushed herbs, a world of quiet patience. Right now, her patient was a small, sick fox. It's breathing a shallow little puff against her hand. She mashed feverfew and willow bark into a paste, her movements slow, deliberate. He was a wild thing, but he let her work, because he knew she was trying to help. All the animals seemed to know. After that, she cleaned her mortar and pestle. But then, a strange restlessness hummed under her skin. She couldn't sit still. The cottage felt tight. So she grabbed her woven basket and stepped outside into the giant redwood forest that was her only real neighbor. The air was cool, smelling of pine and damp earth. She needed moon petal blooms, which only grew in the deepest, most secret parts of the woods. More importantly, she just needed to walk. As she moved through the trees, something felt different. Today, the world seemed louder, brighter. She could smell the fear scent of a rabbit hiding in its burrow 50 feet away. She could feel the steady, slow heartbeat of the ancient forest itself. Was it the coming rain? Or was it something else? No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't shake the feeling of being watched, not by a bear or a cougar, but by the wind itself. Just like that, a sound drifted through the trees. It wasn't a wolf. No. This was deeper, lonelier. It was a long, mournful cry that didn't just hit her ears, it hit her soul. Her breath caught, her heart skipped. A single crazy thought: he's calling for me. What followed was a shiver that had nothing to do with the cold. She shook her head, her brown hair catching on a twig. Her voice, a trembling whisper: it's just the wind, Ilara. Just the wind. Even so, she gathered her herbs with a new kind of hurry. She felt an urgent need to get back inside, to lock her door, and to pretend she hadn't heard that impossible, heartbreaking sound. A sound that promised a world far bigger and far wilder than her own. Chapter 2. Meanwhile, in a great hall built from whole redwood trunks, Liam's world was anything but small. It was loud, heavy, and it all rested on his shoulders. He was the alpha prince of the Blackwood Pack, and his golden eyes swept over the tense faces of his council. They talked of dwindling resources and rogue attacks on their borders. He had to be the warrior. He had to be the judge. He had to be the hope of his people. The rogues grow bolder, his beta, Marcus, growled, his voice a low rumble. They test our southern patrols almost daily. Liam nodded, his jaw tight. Double the patrols. I want them sharp. I want them ready. But deep down, he knew the truth. Patrols wouldn't solve their real problem. Truth be told, his mind wasn't on rogues. It was on a prophecy that haunted his every waking moment. A prophecy that promised him a fated mate, a Luna, whose arrival would signal a new age of strength for their pack. Without her, he was incomplete. And his pack? It was vulnerable. That's why he felt so impatient. This gnawing emptiness wasn't just loneliness. It was a sign of their weakness. He remembered the stories of his great-grandfather, an alpha who was lost and near feral until the moment he met his mate. From there, their pack rose from nothing to become the strongest in the region. Their bond was a legend, a source of power. What would his story be? In that moment, the great hall doors burst open. A young wolf, still in his human form but panting like he'd run for miles, stumbled in. "Alpha Prince!" Liam was on his feet in an instant, his chair scraping loudly. "What is it?" "News from the human settlements, my lord," the messenger gasped, his eyes wide with fear. "A sickness. It's spreading fast. They're calling it the Blood Moon Plague. It withers everything it touches." His advisors murmured, a current of fear in the room. But Liam, he waved a hand, dismissed it. A human sickness? It was nothing, a distraction. The prophecy was what mattered. Finding her was all that mattered. Because of that, he made a mistake, a terrible one. A human problem. He declared it, his voice leaving no room for argument. "Let them deal with it. Our focus remains here." Chapter 3. Alara held the old telephone receiver to her ear, her brow furrowed. "What do you mean their wool is falling out in clumps?" "And their eyes, miss," the farmer on the other end cried, his voice shaky. "Their eyes are glowing, a faint red. I've never seen anything like it." After that, Alara promised to look into it, but a cold dread settled in her stomach. This wasn't normal. This was something else. Something wrong. To make things worse, she noticed them near her own cottage later that day. Strange, dark flowers pushing up through the soil. They were black as night, with veins of deep, angry crimson running through their petals. When she leaned closer, the smell grew thick, heavy. It smelled of decay and, what was that? Dark magic? Like something from a forbidden storybook. Something inside her shifted. Her bones remembered a feeling she'd never actually had before, a deep, primal fear. That night, the full moon rose. It was a giant silver coin in the black sky, and its light didn't just illuminate the forest. It seemed to call. Alara stood from her reading chair, her book falling to the floor, forgotten. She didn't know why she was walking to the door. She didn't know why she was turning the knob. Her body, it moved on instinct, as if pulled by a string. She stepped out, into the moonlight. The strange restlessness from before was back, but now it was a powerful, undeniable current pulling her away from her safe little cottage, deeper into the woods, towards the heart of the Blackwood Territory. "Stop," her mind screamed. "Go back inside." But her feet kept moving. With every heartbeat, the pull grew stronger. It was a magnetic hum, a song only she could hear, promising something. Something her soul had been starving for without her ever knowing it. In the distance, she could hear the faint echo of music, laughter, the sounds of a party, a festival. Impossible. She was miles from any town. Yet, she walked on. Unaware that it was the night of the Harvest Moon Festival, unaware that she was about to step out of her small, quiet world and into a destiny that was waiting to claim her, whether she was ready or not. And just like that, everything changed. Chapter 4. Alara broke through the last line of trees, and her breath caught. The forest had opened into a huge clearing, lit by a roaring bonfire that sent sparks dancing toward the full moon. People were everywhere, laughing, dancing, their bodies moving with a wild, joyful energy she'd never seen before. Everything was thick, so thick, the smell of roasted meat, pine smoke, and something else, something musky and alive. The music wasn't from a speaker. It was the thrumming beat of heavy drums that seemed to vibrate right through the soles of her feet. As if pulled by a string, she took a step forward. Her thoughts spun. What was this place? Who were these people? Before she could move, a sudden silence. The drumming stopped, the laughter died, and every single head, turned to look at her. Hundreds of eyes, all locked on her. In the span of a breath, the air went from joyful to tense. Heavy. Under the weight of their stares, she felt like a mouse caught in a den of wolves. Her heart hammered against her ribs. She wanted to run. But then, she saw him.
The moment she stepped into the light, his world tilted. Everything else faded. The drums, the fire, the faces of his pack. All of it was just a dull, distant roar. There was only her. A girl with wild brown hair and eyes the color of moss after a rainstorm. She looked lost. She looked human. And his soul, the ancient primal wolf part of him that had been sleeping for a lifetime, rose up and howled a single silent word. Mate. The bond didn't just whisper, it exploded. A seismic jolt that buckled his knees. A fire that roared through his veins, burning away the years of loneliness, of waiting. With every heartbeat, his wolf clawed for control, wanting to race to her, to cover her with his scent, to show the whole world who she belonged to. He took a step forward, and then another. The space between them burned. He didn't know he was moving until he was standing right in front of her. The atmosphere thickened, charged with a power only they could feel. He saw the fear in her wide eyes, and a part of him wanted to be gentle. But his wolf was a possessive, arrogant beast. Without another word, he reached out, his fingers brushing the soft skin of her arm. His voice was a low, guttural growl that was meant to be a promise, a prayer, a claim on her very soul. Mine.
The word hit her like a physical blow. A brand. Mine. In that moment, a terrifying, suffocating feeling of being trapped, of being owned, crashed down on her. Her deepest fear, come to life. Her body moved on instinct. Her hand flew up, the crack of her palm against his skin echoing in the dead silence. Without thinking, she ripped her arm away from his touch. Her voice trembled, but it was clear and sharp and full of all the terror in her heart. I reject you. The echo of her voice hung in the air. The man in front of her didn't just flinch, he broke. A raw howl of pure anguish tore from his throat, a sound of something vital being shattered. He collapsed to one knee, his head bowed. And just like that, Alara turned and ran, plunging back into the dark woods, the sound of 1,000 silent stares and one broken soul chasing after her. Chapter 5. Alara didn't stop running until the door of her cottage was shut and bolted behind her. Her lungs burned, her legs shook. She leaned against the wood, her whole body trembling as the silence of her little home roared around her. What was that? Who was that? No matter how hard she tried, her mind couldn't make sense of it. A cult? Some kind of weird forest ritual? But her skin still tingled where he had touched her. As if the mark tingled. A phantom heat lingered on her arm, a memory of his claim. And his eyes. Those impossible burning gold eyes. Deep down, she knew the truth. It wasn't a dream. It wasn't a trick of the moonlight. It was real, which meant she was in very, very big trouble. She didn't know what scared her more, the man with the golden eyes, or the part of her that, for a split second, had felt like she'd finally come home.
Meanwhile, back in the clearing, the agony was a physical thing, a gaping wound inside him. The broken bond left him raw, hollowed out. His wolf whimpered, a pathetic sound for an alpha prince. Moments later, three of the pack's elders approached, their faces grim. Elder Thane, his hair as white as snow, spoke first, his voice low and respectful, but firm. Alpha Prince, he began. The prophecy, it warns of this. Liam gritted his teeth, forcing himself to stand. Every muscle screamed in protest. It says a rejected mate will bring ruin, another elder added, her eyes full of worry. That the plague we heard of is just the beginning. For the good of the pack, for the survival of our people, you must consider the rite of severance. You must find another Luna. It was the logical choice, the safe choice, the choice any other alpha would make. He had to lead. He had to be strong. He had to put his pack first. But then, a fierce primal possessiveness rose through the pain. His wolf, wounded but not broken, let out a low, warning growl. His golden eyes, now burning with a cold fire, met Thane's. He didn't shout. He didn't need to. Every word was a vow, heavy as stone. She is mine. Instead of listening to reason, he chose her. As a result, the fate of his pack was now tied to a human girl who wanted nothing to do with him. He had never felt more powerful or more terrified in his entire life.
Chapter 6. Come morning, the world felt darker. The news on Alara's small kitchen radio was grim. The Blood Moon Plague was no longer a whisper. It was a shout. And Alara couldn't just sit here. No. Her desire to help was stronger than her fear. That's why she went back into the woods, searching for one of the strange, dark flowers, hoping to find a cure. Her instincts led her to a small clearing where a young deer lay shivering, its coat matted with sweat. Its eyes, a faint, sickly red glow. Her heart ached. She knelt beside it, her herbalist kit open, her fear forgotten in her need to heal. Without warning, they were there, shadows from the trees, four of them, ragged, hungry, rogues. Before she could move, they lunged. Her instincts surged and she scrambled backward, but they were too fast. One grabbed her arm, his grip like iron. "The boss wants this one special," he snarled, his breath hot and foul. "Alive," and turned. Terror, cold, sharp. They weren't trying to kill her. No. Something worse, to corrupt her. She fought, kicking and scratching with a desperate human fury. But it was useless. A second rogue pinned her shoulders, his face inches from hers, his lips peeling back from yellowed fangs, just as his jaws opened wide.
Liam felt it. A bolt of pure, undiluted terror that shot through the broken bond like a lightning strike. Alara. Her fear was a siren's call he could not ignore. He was moving before he even thought, his human form dissolving into a blur of fur and muscle. He was no longer a prince, he was a weapon. The forest floor vanished beneath his powerful paws as he followed her scent, her terror, her essence. He burst into the clearing to see her pinned, a rogue leaning in for the bite. A murderous, all-consuming rage, a rage he had never known, erupted from his chest in a deafening roar. What followed was not a fight. It was a slaughter. He was a blur of black fur and flashing claws, a force of nature. He tore through them with brutal efficiency. The rogues, so confident moments before, scattered in terror. None escaped. In the quiet that followed, he shifted back, his chest heaving. Then, he saw her, on the ground, convulsing, a deep bleeding gash on her shoulder. They had bitten her. The plague's venom was already in her veins. He could feel it. A cold, corrupting presence fighting against their bond. She was dying. His mate was dying. In that moment, he saw only one path. One terrible, unforgivable choice. He would save her life, even if it meant destroying it first. Even if it meant she would hate him forever. Without another thought, he fell to his knees beside her. Bit deep into his own wrist and forced his bleeding arm to her lips. His pure, potent alpha blood spilled into her mouth. Her body arched, her back bowed, and a scream of pure, transformative agony ripped through the forest as her bones began to break.
Chapter 7. The first thing, not light, but sound. A low, steady thrumming, like a drum beating deep underground. Thump, 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 thump. The sound was so close, so familiar. The second thing was smell. The sharp, clean scent of antiseptic. The earthy aroma of pine from somewhere outside. And something else. Something warm, musky, and dangerous. A scent that smelled like thunderstorms and dominance. The scent of him. Her thoughts spun. Where was I? What happened? With every heartbeat, her eyelids fluttered open. The light, a physical assault, a blade against her eyes. Everything was too sharp, too clear. She could see the individual dust motes dancing in a sunbeam from a high window. She could hear the whisper of a breeze outside, not just as a sound, but as a feeling against her skin. She saw him. Liam stood across the room, his powerful arms crossed over his chest, his golden eyes fixed on her. He wasn't moving, wasn't speaking, just watching. And in that moment, memory crashed back. The rogues, the bite, the searing, unimaginable pain, his face above her, his blood in her mouth. Her world tilted. Something inside her shifted. A hot surge of rage that burned away all the confusion. She felt it, clear as day. He hadn't saved her. He had put her in a cage. "You," she rasped, her voice a broken thing. As he took a step closer, her voice grew stronger, fueled by a venom she didn't know she possessed. "What did you do to me?" His face was a mask of stone, but his eyes held a flicker of something that looked like pain. "I saved your life, Alara." "Saved me?" Her laugh was a bitter, ugly sound. "You call this saving me? The rogues wanted to turn me into a monster, so you decided to do it yourself. How does that make you any better than them?" Space thickened between them. She pushed herself up, her body aching with a strange new strength. Her instincts surged, and a growl rose in her throat before she could stop it. A sound she had never made before. A sound that was not human. Her breath caught. Her own growl. Before either could speak, she felt a jolt of raw power arc through her. Her eyes flared, and for a split second, she saw her own reflection in a polished water pitcher by the bed. Her own eyes, staring back at her. But they were burning. Gold. She didn't know what scared her more. What he had done to her, or the monstrous, powerful thing she was becoming. Chapter 8. The power didn't fade. It grew. Frantic, chaotic. The room felt like it was shrinking, the walls closing in. The steady thump-thump of Liam's heart was now a deafening roar in Alara's ears. The scent of his skin was so overwhelming it made her dizzy. Her body began to tremble, then to convulse. As if the world narrowed, all she could feel was the feral thing inside her, clawing to get out. Her bones ached with the memory of breaking. Her skin felt too tight. Her teeth wanted to bite, to tear. She let out a choked cry, half human, half snarl. She was losing herself, the human part of her, drowning in a red tide of instinct.
Without thinking, Liam crossed the room. Two long strides. Her scent was a storm of panic and pain. Her wolf, newborn, terrified and dangerously unstable, was trying to force a shift. A shift her body wasn't ready for. "Ilara," he said, his voice a low, firm command. She thrashed on the bed, her eyes squeezed shut, a guttural snarl ripping from her throat. He didn't grab her. He didn't hold her down. Rather, he did something else. He reached out and laid his large, warm hand on her forehead. Then he pushed, not with his hand, but with his will, with the ancient, undeniable power of his alpha blood. He poured his calm into her, his control, his strength. "Peace," his wolf commanded silently. "Be still." The space between them burned. For a moment, her feral wolf fought him, snarling at his dominance. But then, as if fate demanded it, her new instincts recognized something stronger, an anchor in the storm. Her thrashing slowly subsided. The growls softened into whimpers. As the silence stretched, her breathing evened out, her body going limp with sheer exhaustion. She was asleep. Moments later, he turned from her bedside to find the elders waiting in the doorway. Lyra was with them, her arms crossed, her expression a mixture of challenge and disdain. "We saw," Elder Thane said, his voice grim. "She cannot control it. This instability is a danger to us all." Lyra stepped forward. "There are old ways, rituals. The ritual of severance could cut the bond, Alpha Prince. It would free you from this. Her gaze flicked to the sleeping Alara, to the human, the mistake. Truth be told, a part of him, the logical part, knew they were right. It would be easier, safer. But when he looked at Alara, so fragile in her sleep, his soul answered with a protective fury that shook the very foundations of the room. His voice was dangerously quiet. There will be no ritual. There will be no severance. She is the Luna of this pack. I will not break what fate has given me. I will heal what has been broken. He turned his back on them, a silent dismissal. But what he didn't know was that Alara wasn't fully asleep. Through her closed eyelids, she had heard everything. And deep down, she knew the truth. To this pack, she wasn't a Luna. She was a liability.
Chapter 9. Come morning, the training began. And it was hell. Liam took her to a secluded meadow deep in the packlands. He was no longer the quiet watcher or the firm anchor. He was a relentless teacher. He taught her how to run, not like a human, but with the loping, ground-eating stride of a wolf. He taught her how to fight, to block, to strike, to use this terrifying new strength that hummed in her muscles. He was patient. He was firm. He was determined. And no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't keep up. She stumbled. She fell. She felt clumsy and weak in this powerful new skin. What's worse, they weren't alone. A woman watched them from the edge of the meadow, tall, with hair the color of midnight and eyes as sharp and gray as flint. She moved with the easy, predatory grace of someone who was born to this life. This was Lyra, the woman from the hospital, the one who wanted Liam. She didn't train. She just observed. Her presence was a constant, unnerving pressure. After Alara tripped over a root and fell for the 10th time, Lyra finally spoke, her voice smooth as silk but sharp as glass. Having trouble, Alpha Prince? Maybe you need a partner who knows how to keep her feet. Liam shot her a warning look. She's learning, Lyra. Is she? Lyra sauntered closer, circling Alara like a wolf sizing up a wounded deer. Or are some things just too broken to fix? A human mind in a wolf's body, it's unnatural, unstable. The words were a direct hit, striking every single one of Alara's fears. The frustration and shame boiled into a hot, defiant anger. As her wolf stirred, she pushed herself off the ground. She was tired of being weak, tired of being scared, and she was tired of this woman looking at her like she was dirt. With a single glance, she focused on a training dummy. Before Liam could speak, she moved. This time she didn't think. She flowed. A low spin, a powerful kick. Her foot connected with the dummy with a loud thwack, sending it flying backward. The tension broke. Alara stood panting, her eyes flashing gold as she stared down a very surprised Lyra. A flicker of pride, and something more, warmed Liam's gaze as he watched. He let her fight her own battle. But the small victory was shattered between one breath and the next. A pack scout burst from the trees, his face pale with horror. Alpha, it's the Silver Moon Pack, he choked out. They're gone, the plague. It wiped them all out, every last one. And just like that, the world got a whole lot bigger and a whole lot more dangerous.
Chapter 10. The news about the Silver Moon Pack. A gut punch. Days later, the dread had only deepened, coiling in the pit of his stomach like a cold serpent. He stood in the pack's war room, a place that smelled of old maps, leather, and stale fear. The large oak table was a testament to their failure. Red pins where other packs had gone silent, where their supply lines had been choked off, where the world was slowly dying. More importantly, it was a map of his own shortcomings. His beta, Marcus pointed to a new cluster of red pins to the east. The Red Fang Pack hasn't responded in 2 days, and their territory bordered the Silver Moons. Liam's jaw clenched. It was a pattern. A plague that didn't just kill. It isolated. It was brilliant. It was cruel. And it was working. He felt a rage so profound it was almost silent. a pressure building behind his eyes. The mighty Alpha Prince, losing a war against a sickness. What's worse? The enemy knew exactly where to twist the knife. Moments later, a warrior dragged a captured rogue into the hall. The creature was gaunt, its eyes burning with a feverish, mad light. It spat on the floor. "A message!" The rogue rasped, a broken grin splitting its face. "From Lord Vorlag." Liam's voice was dangerously low. "Speak it!" The rogue's eyes flicked past Liam, toward the training grounds visible through the high window, where Ilara was. "He knows about your little stray. Prince. He knows about the rejection. He says the prophecy is a beautiful thing. He says a broken bond in an Alpha's soul is the perfect fertilizer for his plague. He says your weakness only is making him strong." The words were poison darts. Perfect precision. Vorlag wasn't just attacking his pack. He was attacking his bond, his mate, his failure. Because of that, the strategic battle just became intensely personal. Liam dismissed the rogue with a flick of his wrist, his movements tight with contained violence. Truth be told, the crushing weight of it all was nearly enough to suffocate him. The fate of their world, the lives of thousands. All of it twisting around the two words she had thrown at him in a moment of fear. "I reject you." He walked to the window. In the quiet that followed, he watched Ilara in the distance. She was training, her brow furrowed in concentration. She stumbled, fell, but then she got back up, covered in dirt, exhausted, completely out of her element. Yet, she was still fighting, and in that moment something inside him shifted. This wasn't just about saving his pack anymore, it was about saving her. He had to become the Alpha she deserved, because she was the only Luna his soul would ever accept. Chapter 11. The pressure was suffocating. Every grim-faced warrior she passed and every whispered conversation she overheard, it all added to the storm brewing inside her. The news of the Red Fang Pack had been another blow. During her training with Liam, the stress finally boiled over. He pushed her harder than ever before, his own desperation bleeding into his commands. "Again, Ilara, you have to be faster." No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't get the sequence right. Her body ached. Her mind was a fog of fear. As she lunged, her foot slipped, and a surge of wild, uncontrolled energy shot up her spine. Her wolf pressed forward, snarling, wanting to tear something apart simply because it couldn't fight the real enemy. She choked it back down, but the effort left her trembling, tears of frustration and terror streaming down her face. She collapsed to her knees, sobbing. "I can't," she gasped, the words ripped from her throat. "I can't do this, Liam, it's too much." He was in front of her in an instant, his large frame blocking out the world. She expected a command, a lecture, another order to get up. Instead, he knelt. "What are you afraid of?" he asked, his voice softer than she had ever heard it. "I'm afraid of me," she cried, finally letting the truth spill out. "I'm afraid of this. This monster inside me. Every time I get angry, every time I get scared, it gets stronger. I'm afraid I'm going to lose myself in it, Liam. I'm afraid I'm going to disappear." The silence stretched. In the stillness that followed, he didn't offer platitudes. He didn't tell her she was wrong. He just reached for her. Gently, he pulled her against his broad, solid chest, his arms wrapping around her not with possession, but with a tenderness that shattered her. He simply held her while she cried. "I won't let you lose yourself, Ilara," he murmured into her hair, his voice thick with an emotion she couldn't name. "I won't let that happen. You're not a monster. You're like a flame in all this darkness." Her sobs quieted. She felt safe. For the first time since her world had been ripped apart, she felt completely and utterly safe. She tilted her head back, looking up at him. His golden eyes were soft, filled with a raw, unvarnished vulnerability that mirrored her own. Between one breath and the next, the world narrowed to the space between their lips. He lowered his head slowly, giving her every chance to pull away. She didn't. The moment their eyes locked, the bond pulsed. As fire bloomed beneath her skin, their lips met. It wasn't gentle. It was a desperate collision. Need and hope and a deep, soul-shaking hunger that had been building since the moment they met. It was the taste of pine and power, the feeling of coming home. Her hands tangled in his hair, pulling him closer. A deep growl rumbled in his chest, not of command, but of pure, unrestrained pleasure. And she let it happen. She met his hunger with her own, pouring all her fear and hope and a desire she hadn't known she possessed into the kiss that changed everything.
Chapter 12. After the kiss, things were different. The air between her and Liam was charged with a new unspoken language. It was fragile, tentative, but it was there. And with that fragile hope, a new resolve settled in Alara's heart. If she was going to be stuck here, she wouldn't be a liability. She would be a lifeline. That's why she walked into the Pack Infirmary, a place that smelled of blood and fear, and offered to help. At first, the pack healers, wolves born and bred, looked at her with suspicion. But when she identified a poultice that was causing an allergic reaction, and when she used her human knowledge to brew a tea that calmed a feverish pup, their suspicion slowly turned to a grudging respect. Soon after, Liam called a pack assembly. The Great Hall was filled to bursting, the tension a palpable thing. He was outlining a new patrol strategy when Lyra's sharp voice cut through the room. "Patrols are not enough, Alpha Prince," she declared, stepping forward. "We are fighting a plague. We need strength. We need a warrior Luna at your side, not a human, playing with herbs." Her eyes, cold as stone, landed on Alara. The silence roared. Every eye in the hall turned to her. The old Alara would have shrunk from their stares. The old Alara would have fled. But something inside her had shifted. Before Liam could speak, Alara stepped forward, her heart pounding, but her voice steady. She met Lyra's glare without flinching. "You're right, Lyra," she said, and a shocked murmur went through the crowd. "You are a warrior. You were born with a strength I will never have. The pack does need claws and fangs to protect it." She paused, letting her words sink in. "But it is fighting a plague, a sickness. And a sickness cannot be defeated with claws and fangs alone. It must be understood. It must be healed." As her wolf stirred with a surge of confidence, her eyes flashed a brilliant gold. "A pack needs a warrior, Lyra, but it also needs a cure. And I can give them that." Under the weight of her stare, Lyra was speechless. In that moment, Alara wasn't a human or a stray. She was a Luna, claiming her place. A fierce pride bloomed on Liam's face, so intense it stole her breath. But the triumph was short-lived. Without warning, the doors to the hall burst open. A scout, his face ashen and his clothes torn, stumbled inside. "He's coming!" the scout screamed, his voice cracking with terror. "Vorlag! His army! At the southern ridge! And he has something with him. A dark artifact, like it's pulsing with the plague's power." And just like that, the war was no longer at their borders. It was at their door.
Chapter 13. In the echo of the scout's warning, chaos, a wave of panic rippled through the Great Hall. But then Liam let out a single deafening roar. It wasn't a sound of anger, but of pure, undiluted alpha authority. Silence fell instantly. Every eye turned to him. His gaze, however, swept past them all and found Alara's. He didn't speak. He didn't have to. His eyes asked a single question. "Are you with me?" Without hesitation, she gave a firm, small nod. To the end. And just like that, a silent promise was made. What followed were days of relentless preparation. The training meadow became their entire world. The easy, tentative lessons were gone. Instead, there was only the grim reality of the coming war. They moved together, a whirlwind of motion. He no longer held back his strength, and she no longer flinched from his power. Their panting breaths were the only sound between them. a rhythm of shared exhaustion and growing respect. During a break, as she drank greedily from a water skin, he finally told her about Vorlag. "He wasn't always like this," Liam murmured, his voice low, his gaze distant. "He was the alpha of the Silver Moon Pack, centuries ago. Strong. Respected. But his fated mate. She was born into a rival pack. They were forbidden from being together. She was eventually killed in a border skirmish. He broke. He became convinced the entire system of fated mates, of pack law, was a curse. That's why he created the plague. To burn it all down." The story settled heavily in Alara's chest. This wasn't just a monster they were fighting. It was a ghost twisted by a pain that mirrored their own potential fate. Later, Liam taught her a defensive move that required absolute blind trust. She had to turn her back on him, leaving herself completely exposed for a split second to counter an attack from another angle. Her body froze. The old fears, the fear of being controlled, of being vulnerable, whispered in her ear. "I'm right here, Alara," Liam said softly. "I will not let you fall." As she looked into his golden eyes, she saw it. Not a prince. Not a possessor. A partner. So, with every heartbeat pounding in her ears, she took a breath. And did it. She spun. Her back to him. And in the split second of vulnerability, she felt not fear, but his unwavering presence behind her. A solid wall of strength. She completed the maneuver perfectly. The space between them burned with a new kind of heat. Respect. "There's more to the prophecy," he said, his voice barely a whisper. "It doesn't just say the rejection brings the plague. The elders believe. They believe a true accepted union is the only thing that can purify it. That our bond, it might be the only cure." And the weight of the world settled squarely on their shoulders.
Chapter 14. The war horns came at dawn. It wasn't the main assault Vorlag had promised, but a vicious, probing attack at their southern border, designed to test their defenses and spread terror. As Liam led the warriors out in a storm of fur and fury, Alara ran to the infirmary. Her place was here. The longhouse overflowed with the wounded. The smell was thick with the coppery tang of blood and the low whimpers of pain. But Alara? A strange new calm settled over her. She was no longer just an herbalist. As her wolf stirred, she found she could use her new senses to help. She could smell the subtle changes that signaled a deepening infection. She could feel the weak, fluttering life force of the gravely wounded. She moved from warrior to warrior, her human knowledge and her wolf's instincts working in perfect harmony. Then, a warrior burst through the door, his face pale. Cradled in his arms was a small, whimpering ball of fur. A pup. She recognized him, a pack favorite named Finn who was always getting underfoot. "A rogue's claw," the warrior choked out. "Poisoned." Alara rushed over. The gash on the pup's side was small, but the flesh around it was black and angry, the dark veins of a vicious poison spreading rapidly. The head healer, an old wolf named Maeve, shook her head sadly. "It's rogue magic, child. Dark and fast. There's nothing we can do." But then Alara leaned closer. With his scent in the air, a jolt went through her. That smell? The scent of decay and corrupted life. It was the same. The same as the dark flowers she'd found near her cottage. Deep down, she knew the truth. They were connected. "No," Alara said, her voice firm. "There is something." While the forest held its breath, she worked. She didn't have her kit, so she called out ingredients from memory. Crushed nightshade berries, silver leaf paste, ground charcoal. Her hands moved with a certainty that wasn't entirely her own, her wolf guiding her. She mixed the paste and gently, carefully, applied it to the wound. For a long, agonizing moment, nothing happened. The pup's whimpers grew weaker. The silence in the infirmary was absolute. It stopped. The black veins seemed to shrink back from the paste, The angry red flesh began to fade. A beat later, the pup let out a small sigh and licked her hand. What followed was a sound Alara would never forget. The entire infirmary, filled with grim, hardened warriors, erupted in a single, collective roar of pure, unadulterated gratitude. It was a sound of hope. It was a sound of acceptance. It was the sound of a pack claiming its Luna. Chapter 15. Alara's victory was a beacon of hope for the pack, but a bright light casts a long shadow. And Vorlag, he noticed. That night, his response came. His voice, amplified by dark magic, boomed across the entire valley, a chilling sound that seeped through stone and wood. It was not a battle cry, it was an ultimatum. Blackwood Pack, the voice thundered, dripping with ancient hatred. You harbor a thief among you, a wildflower who defied her fate, a human healer who stole a victory that was not hers. You have until the moon is at its peak tomorrow night. Surrender her to me, or I will unleash the soul shatter. I will break every fated bond your world has ever known. I will turn your love into ash and plunge you all into an eternity of lonely chaos. The voice faded, but the chilling promise hung in the air. Liam stood in the war room, his shoulders slumped, the weight of an impossible choice pressing down on him. Sacrifice the woman he now knew he loved, or condemn his entire race to the very hell Vorlag had suffered. He felt trapped, broken. Then he heard her enter the room. Alara's face was pale in the moonlight, but her eyes burned with a fierce resolve. She had heard. Don't even think about it, she said softly. Alara, you don't understand. I understand perfectly. Her voice was stronger now, infused with the confidence she'd earned. I am not a pawn to be sacrificed. I am the Luna of this pack. You said it yourself. My place is here, with you. She crossed the space between them, her steps sure and steady. As if fate demanded it, she reached up, her hands framing his face, forcing him to meet her gaze. Her touch was electric. I was so afraid of losing my independence, she whispered, her voice trembling with emotion. So afraid of being controlled by this bond. But you didn't control me. You showed me how to be stronger. You taught me that true strength isn't about standing alone. It's about standing together. Before either could speak again, she pulled his head down and kissed him. This kiss was not like the first one. It wasn't born of desperate hunger. This was a kiss of choice, a kiss of defiance, a deep, passionate promise that sealed their bond not by the whim of fate, but by the strength of their own will. It was the moonlight confession, a silent vow to face the end of the world together. As their lips parted, a new sound echoed from the southern ridge, the low, mournful cry of Vorlag's war horns. The final battle was upon them.
Chapter 16. The final battle began not with a horn, but with a roar. A tidal wave of Blackwood warriors, Liam at their head, crashed into the horde of plague-ridden rogues. The air filled with the sounds of snapping bone, tearing flesh, and the snarled war cries of shifter against shifter. For a moment, it seemed they had the upper hand. Their fury was righteous. Their defense, desperate. But then, Vorlag played his hand. From the ridge behind his army, he raised the dark artifact, a gnarled, twisted heart of obsidian that pulsed with a sickening purple-black light. As he let out a guttural chant, a vortex of corrupted energy swirled up from the artifact, punching a hole in the sky. The soul shatter, unleashed. What followed was a wave of nauseating cold. It washed over the battlefield. Instantly, the Blackwood warriors faltered. It was a magic that didn't just attack the body, it attacked the soul. It drained their strength, their rage, their very will to fight. Not only that, but scent grew thick with the essence of the plague, amplifying the sickness in the rogues and making every scratch, every bite, a death sentence. Liam felt it like a physical blow. His alpha strength, always a limitless well of power, was suddenly being siphoned away. He watched in horror as Marcus, his beta, A warrior of immense power stumbled mid-lunge. A rogue took the advantage, and Marcus went down.
From her vantage point at the command post near the infirmary, Alara could feel the shift. Through her bond with Liam and her strange new connection to the pack, she could almost see their life forces. A moment ago, they were a constellation of bright burning stars. Now they were flickering, dying, the prophecy. It was coming true, her rejection, his weakened soul. It had all led to this. The ruin wasn't just a plague, it was this very moment, the crushing, undeniable reality of defeat. She felt it, clear as day, when the main wave of dark energy from the artifact broke from the vortex. It wasn't aimed at the pack in general, it was aimed at their alpha, at him. The moment the energy hit him, a choked gasp tore through their bond. She felt a sudden, terrifying cold, a void where his boundless strength used to be. On the battlefield, he staggered, his knees buckling, and for the first time since she had met him, the brilliant gold of his eyes dimmed, flickering, like a dying candle in a storm. Their anchor was failing, and the entire world was beginning to drift into darkness. Chapter 17. The bond between them was no longer a warm, steady presence. Now, it was a frayed, thin wire, humming with his pain and a terrifying cold that seeped into Alara's own bones. While her pulse raced, she watched him on the battlefield, her heart cracking with every staggering step he took. He was fighting two wars now, one against the rogues swarming him, and another against the darkness the artifact had poured into his soul. His powerful wolf form wavered, flickering at the edges, threatening to collapse back into his more vulnerable human shape. His alpha command, the invisible force that held the pack's morale together, was sputtering. The warriors fighting near him could feel it. They looked to their alpha for strength, and for the first time they saw weakness. Because of that, the line began to break. Hope began to die. As if summoned by the scent of despair, Lyra appeared at Alara's side. Her face was pale, streaked with dirt and blood, but her eyes held a desperate, feverish light. She grabbed Alara's arm, her grip painfully tight. "This is your fault," Lyra hissed, her voice cracking with fear and rage. "All of it! The prophecy warned us. A rejected mate brings ruin." "Lyra, stop!" "No!" she screamed, her voice loud enough for the other warriors at the command post to hear. "He was strong before you. He was whole. His weakness, it's because of you. Tell me, are you even on our side? Or are you just the final part of Vorlag's curse? The weapon he's using to destroy our alpha from the inside?" The words were a viper's strike, injecting a poison of doubt that was almost as potent as the plague itself. "Am I? Is this my fault?" The questions echoed in the sudden, ringing silence of Alara's mind, striking at the very core of her deepest, most secret fear. In the span of a breath, she saw her own life as a path leading only to this moment of destruction. And in that moment of crippling self-doubt, Vorlag himself, flanked by two monstrous guards, finally broke through the faltering Blackwood line. He wasn't looking at the battle. He was walking directly toward the one wolf who mattered. He was walking toward Liam. Chapter 18. Her body moved on instinct. Alara lunged forward, a desperate cry on her lips, intending to put herself between Liam and the approaching evil. But a massive rogue appeared from nowhere, slamming into her side and sending her crashing to the hard, cold ground. The air rushed from her lungs. A heavy boot pinned her shoulder. She was trapped. From the dirt, she had a clear, horrifying view of the end of the world. Liam was on one knee, his great broadsword planted in the ground, the only thing holding him up. His head was bowed, his breath coming in ragged gasps. Vorlag stopped a few feet from him, a cruel, triumphant smile twisting his ancient face. He looked not like a warrior, but like a scholar admiring his life's work. "Remarkable, isn't it?" Vorlag said, his voice deceptively calm. "How a simple, emotional choice can unravel 1,000 years of power. I studied the old prophecies for centuries, you know. They were always so focused on a mate's strength, but I saw the truth. The real power was in their potential for weakness. He circled Liam like a vulture. I knew I just had to wait for the right alpha, so proud, so burdened by duty, and the right woman, so modern, so independent, so full of fear that she would mistake a soul's true anchor for a cage. She was the key, you see. Your rejection was the crack that allowed my plague to take root. Vorlag raised a hand, and dark, crackling energy began to coalesce around his fingertips. And now, I will finish it. No! Alara screamed, struggling uselessly against the weight of the rogue. She reached for her wolf, for that well of power inside her, but her wolf felt distant, feral, an echo of a monster, not a partner. It offered her nothing but a snarl of shared despair. And the terrible truth crashed down on her, heavier than any rogue. Lyra was right. This is my fault. My rejection started this. My fear fueled it. I am the poison. In that moment, her goal of self-preservation, of fierce independence, felt like a hollow, childish mockery. It hadn't saved her. It had damned them all. The sounds of battle faded away. The world narrowed to Vorlag's raised hand and Liam's bowed head. Her chest ached with a pain so profound it had no name. She had tried so hard not to be a possession, and instead, she had become a curse. And as Vorlag prepared to strike the final fatal blow, Alara stared into the face of utter defeat, her hope finally and completely extinguished. Chapter 19. Despair was a cold, quiet void. The world had faded to a single horrifying image. Vorlag's hand, crackling with dark energy, descending to end the man she loved. Her wolf whimpered in the back of her mind, a feral, useless thing. This was it. The end. Her fault. But then, something else flickered in the darkness. Not a feeling. A thought. A memory. A dark flower pushing up through the soil near her cottage. The way its crimson veins pulsed with a sick light. She remembered studying it, her human mind cataloging its properties. It was a parasite. It drew life from the earth around it, but it withered under direct, unfiltered sunlight. It had a weakness. A simple, natural weakness. In that moment, between one breath and the next, something cracked. The wall in her mind, the one that separated Alara the herbalist from Alara the wolf, crumbled into dust. They weren't two separate beings fighting for control. They were one. Her human intellect, her wolf's instinct, her knowledge of the natural world, her connection to this new, magical one. It wasn't about being controlled. It was about choice. Her fear of losing her independence had been the real cage all along. Liam's love, his unwavering belief in her, it hadn't erased her. It had given her the space to finally become whole. As if fate whispered it, a new power surged through her. It wasn't the chaotic, feral rage from before. This was different. It was calm. It was focused. It was hers. As her wolf stirred, it pressed forward, and she let it happen. While the forest held its breath, she opened her mouth. But it was not a scream of fear that came out. It was a roar, a guttural, alpha-like sound of pure, defiant rage that ripped through the battlefield. It was the roar of a Luna claiming her power, the roar of a wildflower that refused to be trampled. The sound shocked everyone. Vorlag, his hand inches from Liam, froze, turning to stare in disbelief. The rogue pinning Alara down flinched, his grip loosening for just a second. For the span of a breath, the entire world was frozen by that impossible sound. She had bought them a single precious heartbeat, and she was not going to waste it. Chapter 20. In the echo of her voice, Alara's mind was a flash of lightning. Her human intellect and her wolf's senses, finally united, saw the battlefield in a completely new way. The soul shatter artifact pulsed on the ridge, the heart of the corruption. But a heart cannot beat without veins. She saw them now. Twisted, blackened roots snaking under the battlefield. Dark, pulsating flora, larger versions of the flower from her cottage, acting as nodes, They were siphoning the life from the very earth, feeding that power directly to the artifact. That was its weakness. It wasn't a single, powerful object. It was a parasite with roots that could be cut. Without thinking, she pushed the idea, the images, the entire desperate plan through the bond to Liam. The roots, Liam, the nodes, it's a parasite. We have to cut the roots. On the other side of the battlefield, Liam, still on one knee, flinched as her thoughts crashed into his. His head lifted, a flicker of gold returning to his dim eyes. He saw what she saw. He understood. But he was too weak to lead the charge. So instead, he did something else. He closed his eyes. He gathered every last scrap of his alpha essence, every ounce of his pride in her, his trust in her, his all-consuming love for her, and sent it surging back across the bond in a single, powerful wave. The power hit Alara like a physical blow. But it wasn't controlling, it wasn't a command, it was a gift, it was his strength freely given to fuel hers. Her world tilted back into place. Strength flooded her limbs. With a furious snarl, she threw the stunned rogue off her as if he were a child. She got to her feet, her body humming with a power that was both hers and his. Her eyes, now blazing a steady, brilliant gold, swept over the remaining Blackwood warriors. They stared at her, their expressions a mixture of awe and shock. They had seen her rise. They had heard her roar. They had felt the echo of their alpha's power inside her. Maybe it was fate, or maybe it was just a choice. But in that moment, they didn't just see a human girl. They saw their Luna, and they were ready for her command. Chapter 21. There. Alara's voice rang out across the battlefield, sharp and clear, imbued with an authority that was both her own and a perfect echo of Liam's. She pointed a trembling finger at the largest, most twisted patch of dark flora. That one. Destroy it. Without hesitation, the warriors obeyed. A group of the strongest remaining wolves, their hope renewed, charged toward the target. And just like that, the final push began. It was a desperate, synchronized dance of death and rebirth. Alara was a blur of motion, her heightened senses guiding her, her mind processing the battlefield like a master strategist. She wasn't a frontline brawler. She was the scalpel, pointing out each vulnerable node with unerring precision. To the left! By the fallen oak! Another one! At the same time, Liam fought beside her. He was now on his feet, his own strength slowly returning as Alara's weakened the artifact. He wasn't at his peak, but he was a living shield, a battering ram of black fur and raw power. He cleared a path for her, his claws and fangs tearing through any rogue that got too close, his body a bulwark that protected her while she guided their desperate attack. They were two halves of a single perfect whole. With every corrupted node they destroyed, the great vortex in the sky flickered. The oppressive cold lessened. The strength of the pack warriors surged. Vorlag saw it happening. He saw his power source being severed, root by root. With a scream of pure fury, he abandoned his plan to kill Liam and turned the artifact's remaining power on the two of them. A beam of pure, dark energy shot across the field, aimed directly at Alara. Before she could move, Liam was there. He threw himself in front of her, taking the full force of the blast. He roared in pain, staggering but not falling. He was protecting her. He was trusting her plan. Together they led the final charge through the last of Vorlag's guards. They were bruised. They were bleeding. They were exhausted. But as they finally stood before Vorlag, with the Soul Shatter artifact pulsing erratically between them, they were united. And they were ready to end this. Chapter 22. They stood before him, two halves of a whole. Vorlag, his face a mask of rage, snarled as the Soul Shatter artifact pulsed erratically, weakened by their assault. You think you have won, children? I still have enough power to turn this entire valley to dust. But Alara wasn't looking at Vorlag anymore. She was looking at the artifact. With her senses now a perfect blend of human intellect and wolf intuition, she saw what no one else could. It wasn't just a heart of stone. Deep inside the swirling obsidian, like a prisoner in a cage of magic, was a single living thing, a corrupted, black-veined moon petal bloom. The very first one, Forlag had twisted. It was the source, the living heart of the plague. Without thinking, she sent the image crashing through the bond to Liam. The flower, Liam. The artifact isn't the heart, the flower inside it is. His golden eyes widened in understanding. The plan was instant, unspoken, perfect. As if fate demanded it, Liam let out a deafening roar, not of pain, but of pure challenge. Vorlag, your fight is with me! He launched himself forward, a blur of black fur and righteous fury. It was a feint, a magnificent suicidal distraction. Vorlag, his ancient hatred for the Alpha Line overriding all else, took the bait. He turned his full, murderous attention on Liam, his hands crackling with dark energy to meet the charge. While the forest held its breath, Ilara moved. She wasn't a warrior. She was a healer, a gardener. And she knew you didn't fight a weed by cutting its leaves. You ripped it out by the root. She bypassed the fight entirely. A streak of motion aimed directly at the pulsing obsidian artifact. She didn't have a sword. But as her wolf surged, her own fingernails hardened and elongated into small, sharp claws. Between one breath and the next, she plunged her hand into the heart of the magical storm. The dark energy screamed, lashing at her, but she ignored the pain. Her fingers closed around the corrupted, slimy petals of the trapped flower, and with a final, defiant cry, she ripped it out. The moment it was free, the Soulshatter artifact let out a piercing shriek and exploded into a million shards of dead, useless stone. A beat later, Vorlag screamed too, the dark magic unraveling from him like thread from a spool. He stumbled backward, his form flickering, his power gone. In the quiet that followed, Liam, his golden eyes blazing with renewed strength, delivered the final clean blow. And as Vorlag's body dissolved into dust, the oppressive, sickly magic that had choked the land for so long simply vanished. Chapter 23. The sun rose on a world that felt newborn. The atmosphere, for the first time in what felt like a lifetime, smelled of damp earth and clean pine, not sickness and death. The battlefield was a scene of devastation, but beneath the sorrow, a current of profound relief hummed through the exhausted survivors of the Blackwood Pack. It was over. In the quiet that followed, Ilara was no longer a reluctant outsider. She was the heart of the pack's healing. She moved through the wounded, her touch soothing, her voice a calm command that other healers instinctively followed. She saw Lyra sitting by a tree, her arm in a crude sling, her face pale. Without another word, Ilara knelt beside her and began to gently clean and bind the wound. Lyra watched her, her gray eyes filled not with hatred, but with a dawning, grudging respect. Between them, something cracked, and a silent truce was formed. Meanwhile, Liam was the pillar of their recovery. He organized the patrols to search for survivors, his voice ringing with the clear authority of an alpha who had led his people through the darkness and into the light. But this time, it was different. In front of the entire pack, he walked over to where Ilara was tending to a young warrior. "Ilara," he said, his voice quiet but clear for all to hear. "The western flank is secure. Where do you need the primary triage set up for the most seriously wounded?" Her heart skipped. It wasn't just a question. It was a declaration, a public acknowledgement of her place, not behind him, but beside him. Her soul answered his unspoken trust. "The clearing by the stream," she said, her voice steady. "The water is clean, and the scent is good. It will help." He just nodded. "Make it so," he commanded his warriors. Soon after, a scout returned, not with news of battle, but with tears of joy streaming down his face. "Alpha, a message from the Stone Ridge Pack, the plague. It's receding. Their sick are waking up." Moments later, another followed, and then another. The plague was breaking all across the land, and a great rolling cheer began to build among the weary warriors, a sound of pure, unadulterated joy. That night, beneath the moonlight, Liam found her by the stream. He gently took her hand, turning it over to look at a small cut on her arm. He said nothing. He simply lowered his head and pressed a soft, gentle kiss to the back of her hand. Right over the spot where he had once claimed her with a single, possessive word. This time, the touch wasn't a brand. It was a prayer. And it was everything. Chapter 24. Months later, the Blackwood Pack was not just surviving, it was thriving. The scars of the Great War were fading, replaced by the vibrant green of a world reborn. The pack had changed. Because of their new Luna, the infirmary was now as respected as the training grounds. Alara, with her unique blend of human science and shifter intuition, had created new cures, new poultices, and had forged alliances with other packs, sharing her knowledge freely to heal the last remnants of the plague. She had become a legend in her own right, the healer Luna. And Liam had changed, too. The arrogant prince was gone, replaced by a wise and compassionate alpha. He still possessed a core of unyielding strength, but now it was tempered with patience and a deep respect for his mate's counsel. He was loved not just for his power, but for his wisdom. Their joint leadership became a new kind of story, a new kind of ideal for the shifter world. One evening, they stood together on the same ridge where Vorlag had made his last stand. The sun was setting, painting the sky in strokes of orange and purple. Pups played in the valley below, their joyous yips carrying on the wind. There was no great drama, no looming threat. There was only peace. Alara leaned her head against his shoulder, her hand intertwined with his. The bond between them was a quiet, steady warmth. A source of endless strength. He lifted her hand to his lips, his gaze meeting hers. His golden eyes no longer held the shadow of a burden, only a deep, abiding love. "I was so afraid," she whispered, the memory now a distant echo. "Afraid that choosing you meant losing myself." "And now," he murmured, his voice a soft rumble. She smiled. A slow, genuine smile that reached her eyes. "And now I know. I wasn't losing myself. I was just finally finding my way home." Her world had not been made smaller by his love. It had been made infinitely larger. The fierce, independent wildflower hadn't been tamed. Instead, she had been given an entire thriving forest in which to grow. And the alpha, who once believed love was a thing to be claimed, had finally learned the truth. True strength wasn't found in a command. It was found in a quiet, unbreakable oath, shared between two souls who had faced the end of the world and chosen to build a new one, together. Epilogue: 2 years later, true peace had settled over the shifter world. The last vestiges of the Blood Moon Plague were now just a story told to pups, thanks to the remedies Alara had freely shared with every pack, uniting them in healing rather than fear. Liam watched from the porch of their sunlit home as Alara sat in a meadow of vibrant wildflowers. She wasn't his fragile human anymore. She was a renowned healer, a respected diplomat, a powerful Luna teaching a new generation of shifters from three different packs about the Earth's restorative magic. A small girl with her mother's curious green eyes and faint golden flecks that promised a mighty wolf of her own, toddled between them, her laughter the brightest sound in the valley. Liam's heart, once heavy with the burden of a crown, felt impossibly light. He had once believed power was the key to saving his world, but he had been wrong. Salvation wasn't in a prophecy or a title. It was here, in the sound of his daughter's laugh, in the sight of his mate cultivating peace, and in the quiet promise of 1,000 more sunsets together.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content, just like this waiting for you on our channel. So, why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.